We're back on KCRW's Good Food. I'm Evan Kleiman.
To be able to like take someone back to like their childhood and remind them of their grandmother's cooking or their mom's cooking or places that they used to eat with their family, I mean, that's everything.
Chef Joseph Centeno is known for his modern interpretation of Tex-Mex cuisine at Bar Amman, downtown L.A., and now Amasita in Culver City. He'll readily tell you that the only thing authentic about Tex-Mex is its inauthenticity. He has a lot of thoughts about it, and he recently put some of them down in a new cookbook called Ama. Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
It's so great to have this book finally, A Modern Tex-Mex Kitchen.
Thanks for having me on the show to talk about it.
You have this amazing pedigree on both sides of your family. So let's talk a little bit about that. Who is Ama?
Ama is my great-great-grandmother, who I was fortunate enough to be able to experience her cooking at an extremely young age, obviously, but I have very vivid memories. Her and Apa lived on the west side of San Antonio on Rivas Street, and we'd never go through the front door for some reason. It always through the side into the kitchen. And she had a little 3x3, two-burner stove with a little plancha and a little 30x30-inch kitchen table with those like old-school metal chairs that had like the plastic laminate over the seats. And it always being like 100 degrees plus. And
you'd stick to the seat.
Stick to the seats. Those are my memories with the smell of borracho beans and fideo and fresh corn tortillas being made.
So her life before arriving in San Antonio was like a movie.
Yes. As we started to really kind of get a sense of that when I opened Bar Amman. I went back to talk to the family, and this was like almost 7 years ago now, looking for the inspiration for the dishes that I would be recreating on the menu. And that's when we started to get a sense of like their struggle and like many times over.
Talk a little bit about that. Your great-great-grandmother and your great-great-grandfather met when they were young and got married, and then they were separated during the Mexican Revolution.
Yeah, so this was like around 1918, so the story goes.
And she was actually a camp follower, right?
Yes, she was a soldera, and the solderas would be on top of the trains while the soldiers were in the cabins, and they were en route to somewhere, and the front of the train got like bombed by the opposing, like the enemy, and they were separated for like 5 years. And what she would do was that she and her mother-in-law, they would make the tacos dorados and basically fry these tacos.
So they were street vendors.
Yeah, essentially.
It's incredible. And then they found each other.
Yeah, because she knew that if he was alive, if he was going to come back, it was going to be through the train station, which was the only way to get there.
So is that where she set up her table?
Yeah. And they were reconnected.
That's just so crazy. So you have this amazing pedigree on one side, and then the other side of the family is the supermarket side.
They were the grocers, and my dad was a butcher. And, I mean, everyone, although they didn't know each other at the time, were living in northern Mexico. Because my mom's mom, Amana Pa, were from Guanajuato, but her dad were Irish and Polish immigrants and living in northern Mexico. And then my father's family were Spanish and French, living in northern Mexico, living their lives like everything's fine and dandy. Everyone's like has little businesses and so forth. And then the war breaks out and everybody loses everything. And they flee to Nuevo Laredo and San Antonio. And that's where everybody like started their lives over again.
And what I love about it is it's such a good example of food being the thing that knits survival back together and then thriving.
Exactly. I mean, it's really, when I cook Tex-Mex, I'm honoring the struggle of all of these immigrants. I mean, this is just one story. There's many stories, many, many. But everyone who, like, they were rebuilding their lives were trying to recreate the food that they knew. using the ingredients at hand. And I mean, that's how Tex-Mex was born. I mean, Tex-Mex has never claimed to be Mexican. It's an American regional cuisine. It blends many, many different cultures and has a tremendous amount of influence. Canary Islanders, for example, many years before brought cumin, which is why you don't see cumin in Mexican cooking
as much. Oh, that's so interesting. But, I always wondered that.
But it's used like a ton in Tex-Mex and like Southwestern cooking. And so, I mean, just the influence of people's palates and memories like coming together to create really amazing food.
So did Ama have a signature dish?
Well, the one that I remember, like, aside from the beans and the fideo, is her enchiladas, which are not like the enchiladas that everyone's used to. It's not doused in red sauce or green sauce. Hers are very simple, fresh-made corn tortilla that she would like kind of roll in a little bit of corn oil and then roll queso fresco and some chopped onion. And then she'd always have a little like potato and onions, garlic on the stove, and that's kind of where I took the idea for making a sofrito. But it was basically just spooning over these kind of rough chopped potatoes, onions, tomato, and carrot on top of just warm corn tortilla with queso fresco. And it was like, that's what I thought were enchiladas in the beginning.
Why wouldn't they be?
So
I have to tell you, every time I talk to you, I get very, very hungry. The experience that you've gone through of being imbued in this food and wanting to honor it, but also express yourself, is really interesting to me. So talk a bit about how you do that. How do you look at a food that has, like, let's say nachos? It's a food that everybody knows what nachos are, or we think we know. To some people, nachos are just what you get in the movie theater with that horrible liquid cheese and pickled jalapenos and really bad tortilla chips. How do you take something that has so much like baggage and sort of put it through your own lens?
Well, it's complicated. Not the cooking part, but like just to kind of backtrack, the origin of Tex-Mex is very much, I guess, would, for lack of a better description, farm to table. These families that started restaurants and like trying to do what they knew how to do in Texas, and we're making food from scratch and recreating dishes from wherever they're coming from in Mexico, but using the ingredients at hand. Then the commercialization of, like, they took Tex-Mex and they blended it with Mexican, and they basically said, this should be worth 39 cents.
Yeah, and they bastardized it and made it into a super cheap commodity.
And so that forced, I mean, the families out of just trying to acclimate to take shortcuts, to start integrating processed foods, because that was the only way to survive. I mean, you see the same struggles today. It's like picking and choosing. But that is what kind of pushed what Tex-Mex cooking was, and then kind of what people perceived it to be. I mean, there's a good and bad side. One, that it introduced Tex-Mex to a huge audience, but then it stops there. And then it was just bad. And then the garbage that it created thereafter. Back to your question as far as like nachos, I think just practicing making everything from scratch. We fry our own tortillas, chips every day, and our tortillas are made the day before to our specs, because it is important, like the thickness and like how fresh the tortillas are, but they do need almost like some time to cure. And
then the cheese.
And then the cheese, in the very beginning, I tried every, like I didn't want to use Velveeta. Although growing up in Austin, I mean, that's what was used. And I mean, and I have very fond, I didn't actually have queso in San Antonio growing up. It wasn't until I went to college for a few years and had, Austin's a big queso town. And that's where I fell in love with queso. I grew up more with the compuestas, which was like the more composed style of shredded cheese melted, which is just as delicious, but different. But I tried every, like using like bechamels and like beurre mayonnaise and different like mild and sharp, and nothing like worked exactly. It's either if you're going to use shredded, you got to do compuestas. If you want queso, it was just finding the right ratio
of Velveeta.
Of Velveeta, because it's not straight. It's I use it more as like a binder.
Because you have a pretty complex combination that you're working with.
Yes, and we started integrating the Bruberus, the Argental, which is amazing. And, I mean, you don't have to use, I think if you can find something similar that will add that richness, you could probably, I mean, you could use even like a brie as a substitute because it is maybe a little bit more difficult.
But it does like make you reach for another chip.
Like that layer that it adds to the cheese is very comforting.
So recently you've opened Amasita.
Yes.
In Culver City. And like the name would suggest, it's a little ama.
Yeah.
How did you decide what would go on the menu there?
When I opened Bar Ma, the idea was to start taking like a healthier approach, like start integrating more vegetables in a menu because vegetables are extremely important in the way that I cook and the way that I like to eat. And
I mean, even with Paco Mercat, when I first started going there, to me, it was just like all about the vegetables.
And so I was basically taking the angle of doing Tex-Mex, but more vegetable focused. And I think it's settled more as more traditional Tex-Mex, as the more like comfort style, which I was like okay with because, I mean, that's what made people happy.
Do you have the vegan queso downtown too?
Yes. Vegan queso was developed there because I wanted, I mean, I at the end of the day, our job is about trying to make people happy and saying like, you can't have queso because you're dairy, you can't have dairy or not having dishes that were already gluten-free. It's like, I always think about those parameters and I didn't want it to just be like an afterthought. So I wanted to create, like, develop a queso that was just as delicious. And we often have people who order the cashew queso, the vegan queso, but add chorizo to it, so. Which is good.
I mean,
I'm not, as far as the calories, I'm not going to.
No, but that's picking and choosing, right?
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Joseph.
Thank you, Evan.
I've been talking to L.A. chef and restaurateur Joseph Centeno. His new Tex-Mex restaurant in downtown Culver City is Amasita, and his latest cookbook is Ama.